Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about those early families, and I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago or even 9 months ago, I read into a lot about slavery. I actually watched, like, Spartacus, and I wanted to see, so that got me interested, and went to Wikipedia, and I read articles, and I bought a couple of books. And what's interesting is the question I was thinking about in early Christianity, did the early Christians, would it occur to them that slavery or the enslaving of persons, would it have occurred to them that these are image bearers of God and that that economic system was not correct and they should move in a different direction? I know in generations that followed, some Christian ethics and started to self-awarely analyze that. But in the early church, was that looked at?
I don't think it ever occurred to them, to tell you the truth. It was so much part of the culture.
Okay.
Abusing slaves, yes, certainly. Okay. And that's already among the philosophers. I mean, the philosophers are saying, look, these are people too, and so treat them well. But the institution, I don't think they ever questioned.
So Christians then did treat their slaves different when the love of Christ came upon them in terms of, like, caring for them or not, or...
I don't want to stress too much difference.
Okay.
I think I would say they were among the more enlightened in terms of how to treat their slaves. They weren't the first to do that. The philosophers understood that very well.
Right.
But because of Christ, because I think there was a different motivation, perhaps, or a deeper motivation mm-hmm. because of Christ.
Well, we have one passage in the scripture of Paul with Onesimus and Philemon talking about a slave there, and, mm-hmm. and Paul seems to really honor the rights of slave owner Philemon mm-hmm. in Onesimus' case. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you do see that he's not trying to go around that.
No, he isn't. No. He's trying to deepen the human relationship. Very much respected Philemon's rights as a slaveholder and was trying to create, deepen a personal relationship between the two. We don't know what the issue was. Philemon is out of the household without permission. That's pretty clear. Was he a runaway? Was he a fugitive? There's some suggestion that he was suffering some abuse and went to Paul to appeal to Philemon, and that's also possible, whatever it is. He caught up with Paul, and Paul is trying to say, would you, the two of you now make peace and come back together? But there is one place in that letter in which it's rather ambiguous, but he does seem to be possibly suggesting that Philemon should manumit Onesimus, in which case it would change into a new kind of relationship.
What's your take on the gospel being shared to slaves?
I don't know what you mean.
What I mean is, like, it seems like Christianity, so many slaves became believers
yes,
in
yes.
early Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did, as people, they shared Christ?
Oh, absolutely, yes. The evangelizing, the preaching, the gospel was to everybody in the household, everybody in the workshop. The legal status, whether you were slave or free, didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, something that created, I think, some tension when they went home.
Right.
And the relationship was not an equal one. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. One last thing is, like, when Paul says, slaves obey your masters in everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
As if to the Lord.
As if to the Lord.
Because you are obeying Christ.
Yeah. Hmm.
That could be pushed in some wrong directions, one would assume.
Do you think that could have happened in a wrong direction?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Christians were human just like everybody else.
And, right. And they might have bifurcated their own mm-hmm. life. Bifurcation means that they might have been into the Christian thing, but the kind of rights, let's say a slave owner male with a slave female, mm-hmm. those are often compromising and commonly compromised positions for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not have changed in a Christian home right away.
That's right. And abusers frequently do bifurcate like that.
Right.
You know, one side of their life and then another side of their life. You know, something I meant to say actually during the segment, let me say now, when we talk about slavery, people often say, and it's absolutely true, that there are forms of slavery continuing today. Human
yeah.
trafficking is one of them.
Yeah.
The difference is it's not legal.
Right.
And that's a big difference, that this slavery was legal, as it was in the United States for a couple of centuries, too.
Yeah, and much of the buildings that we admire now were built on the backs
yes,
of slaves.
Yes, they were.
And
mm-hmm.
much of that culture, if you take the slavery element out of it, enslaved persons element out of it, we would not have that culture like
mm-hmm.
we have today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of ways, again, I just end this by saying the gospel comes into this world, and this world is ancient. This world is literary. They have literacy. They're reading. They have a language, Koine Greek, that's vibrant. They have intelligence. They have philosophy. You know, so many things. They have a road that you know, the Appian
system
that goes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They have enslaved peoples, large numbers of them.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where the gospel comes in. So what a drama. And in ministry, we learn all of this so that we might more effectively share Christ and understand the implications then as we parse our world and share Christ with the implications of our life today.
Mm-hmm.
So very impressive, interesting.